So that's it. We're starting. Oh my God. What's that? Chelik Beis. Chelik Beis. Or and or Ramam. Chelik Beis.
And also.
Yeah. Ramam. It's actually the Chelik Beis in the big book, not in the small book. No, that's the small book. It's Chelik Beis in the big book, meaning it's the has to do with Meiser. Let's see. Zrayim. Yes. Okay. You guys have the critical edition. Uh-oh, I'm in trouble.
Different gear says and everything.
Whoa, different gear says. Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. So I guess where did we leave off last week? We were doing Reish Beis in Hilchos, Berachos Aperos. Reish Beis. So we were up to Beis, Sif Beis. Okay. Oh no! You need a
mission.
One. Yeah, there you go, mission bar. Okay, all right. So it's Sif Beis. So we start off right. Haboser calls Manshlo Higia LeKapol Lavan. Right. Okay. So the Shulchan Aruch is talking about when can you make a bird per eitz on a grape. Okay. So if the grape is not ripe, if it's so small and it hasn't ripened at all, then there's a certain point where you don't even make a bar peri to make an adama. Okay? So there's a cutoff line where the fruit becomes actually a fruit, and you can consider it an eitz, a fruit of the tree. Okay? So there's a certain point. But before that point, you make a bar peri adama. It's actually not differentiated as a separate entity. Okay? So what is that point where you consider the grape actually a fruit? So the Shulchan Aruch says that it's the point at which it's the size of a pol halavan. Now, pol halavan is a white bean. Now, unfortunately, we don't know how big that size is. Okay, so he says, since we don't know really the size of the pol halavan, so he says it's got to get pretty big, till it gets pretty big. Okay, what's pretty big? I mean, very big, like a size, something that's big enough that you know that's a full-grown grape, okay? Then we say it's big enough, you consider it a fruit. And you can make a bar per eitz on it, okay? But now the problems start to surface when we take a look at the Mishnah Berurah, okay? So this is just the tip of the iceberg. When you take a look at the Mishnah Berurah, you'll notice there's something problematic going on here, okay? And as we go deeper and deeper into it, you'll see the problems start to multiply a little, okay? But let's just take the surface. So the Mishnah Berurah says in Tesvav, okay, he says when the Mechaber says Gadol B'Yoser, okay, the Mechaber says you make a bar peri adama umishehu kapol halavan, when the grape becomes ripe enough or large enough that it's the pol halavan, as big as a white bean, ve'elach, there and onward, mevarech bar peri eitz. Okay, then the Shulchan Aruch says, umitok shelo nodalanu shir pol halavan, since we don't know what that size is, la'olam mevarech bar peri adama, you always make a bar peri adama, ad sheyeh gadol b'yoser, till the grape becomes big enough that you're sure it's ripe. Okay, and it's a peri. Okay. Now, the Mishnah Berurah says, Gadol B'Yoser. Mishnah Berurah says, in Tesvav, Ve'im Lefimaris Ayin. And if, according to the what you can observe with your eye, Kvar Nigmar Bishulo, if it's clearly ripe, okay, even if it's not that big, it's a small grape, a tiny grape, I don't know, what they have those champagne grapes, whatever, but you can see the grape is definitely ripe, okay? Then ain nafka mina klal begadlo. We don't care about the size thing, because you can see it's definitely ripe, and it's definitely a pre. That's the pre. Okay. Then he says like this: ubechol ofen mevarich alav bar peretz. Okay. Bechain. Okay. Similarly, imachartzanim shelahem nera mibechutz. If the pits. I assume it's talking about a grape where the skin must be, certain grapes, the skin is transparent. So if the pits are visible from the outside, in other words, the pits have grown to the size that they're uh, that they're prominent and you can see the pits from the outside. Bavadai, bavadai, then certainly, okay, he says, hu karov lehisbashel. It's close to being ripe. Umavarech aleihem bar pireitz. Okay, so, okay, now already it's a little funny. In other words, now he's saying, you would expect he's saying, you expect him to say that if the pits are visible, then it's certainly ripe, and you should make a bar pireitz. But he says, no, if the pits are visible, it's close to being ripe. Okay, so now it doesn't have to. You make an eitz. And you make an eitz. It's considered a pre, a fruit. Okay? So, I mean, now, in other words, it doesn't have to be ripe. Ripe is not the factor.
And it doesn't need to be the size.
And it doesn't, and the size is not really the factor. It's not the essence. Okay? So, in other words, we're trying to determine when the thing is a pre. So what is the factor? Here he is. Hey. Right? What is, so what, in other words, what type of situation is this? What makes it into a pre? Is it size? Is it ripe? Is it the pits?
He says Kvar Nigmar Bishulo in the beginning.
Yeah, in the beginning he seems to say that it's the ripeness, that if you have a ripeness, then you know it's a fruit. That for sure is a fruit, right? But then he says, but
if it's close to ripe.
It's close to ripe, it's also for sure a fruit. So, I mean, what kind of, what do you mean close to ripe? I mean, close to ripe is not ripe. It's either ripe or it's not ripe. Right.
So,
yeah.
It seems like we're trying to determine when we make an eitz based on. Well, we already said also we're making this bracha based on whether or not it has become the fruit yet.
Yes.
Right. So, I think the Mishnah Berurah is showing the line where we draw of. The line we draw of where we consider this a fruit or not, of when we consider this a fruit or not. So, it's obvious when this something is ripe, when a fruit is ripe, that's the fruit. It's ripe. That's what it's supposed to be. That's the product. But when he says that, practically the seeds thing is just, I don't know. That's the situation of when the grape's close to ripe. I don't really care about the seeds, but that's just what it is. But apparently, if you could tell that it's close to ripe, that's still considered the pre. That I don't know what's still, but it's like that would also fall under the category of pre. It's true, it's not ripe, it's not the full product, but it has changed over from like this inedible substance to the edible substance of the grape. It's not like, and it's not in its best form.
Okay.
But it has made its way into the category of grapes. It might be a bad grape, it might not taste good, right. But it has fallen into that category. And I'm kind of assuming this, that the size is also the same factor.
Okay.
That it's just a factor of, is it close enough to its ripe state that we can consider this the fruit, even though it's not at its full product state. And obviously, the case of where it is ripe, you know it's ripe. It's ripe.
You know it's ripe. Right.
Doesn't matter about the size, not the size, doesn't matter. It's ripe.
Right. Right.
That's the product.
Right.
So, I think that's what he's trying to say.
So, you could have just said the second one.
What's the second one?
Ripe. Then you say, I ate. And then he wouldn't have to tell you that when it is actually ripe, you have to say, I ate.
Right. That's true. That's weird. Why doesn't you say when it's close to ripe? Yeah.
Why doesn't you just say when it's close to ripe? Right.
That should be the only category. The size also shouldn't matter. Well, the size one I get, because maybe there are two different ways of determining close to ripe. It could be close to ripe based on size, or it could be close to ripe based on where the seeds are.
Good.
So that I hear. That would answer that question. But still, why does he say when it's ripe, though? That doesn't matter.
Well... Okay, good. So,
what's
you know,
the first thing then, though? The size? Reassign? Yeah. The size? That's not the size. Oh, the ripeness? That's the ripeness without the seeds. Yeah, when it's ripe, when it's ripe, it's ripe.
What does that mean? It's like very blue or something?
Clear. It's clear that it's ripe.
Okay. How do you know, though?
I knew it here.
It looks like it?
Yeah. It's
is it big as a white bean?
No, that's the other category, right?
Right, that's the other category. The size, or just
like
you can tell.
Size, you could tell, and then see the seeds from the inside.
And whatever way it is, I don't know. But, like, you know it's ripe. It's for sure it's done.
Right.
I don't know.
Now, so there's a certain stage when the thing is considered a pre, a certain, whatever you want to say, a certain stage of maturity. It's reached a certain stage where it's considered, the halacha defines it as a pre. Right? Now, how do you identify that stage? That's what they're giving you. In other words, the stage doesn't have to be ripe. If it's ripe, you know that the thing is fully mature. It definitely hit the stage of pre. It doesn't have to be ripe, because ripe is not the definition of when it's a pre. The definition is when it hit that stage. But he's giving you different criteria, different simonim, to determine when it hit that stage. Now, if it's close to ripe, that's good enough.
A stage of being a pre?
Yes. If it's close to ripe, that's good enough. But how do you know it? You know when something's ripe, right? Because whatever, I guess you taste it or you feel it, whatever it is, right? But how do you know when something's close to ripe? Okay, well, that's what he's saying. If you could see the seeds, you know it has hit that point where it's considered a fruit. It doesn't have to be fully ripe. It doesn't have to be finished. Okay, but as long as it's far enough along the road, there's certain simonim that tell you this is a pre. It's reached the stage of maturity where you consider that thing a fruit. And there's such a thing as a ripe fruit, and there's an unripe fruit. An unripe fruit is a fruit too. Okay, but if it's before that stage, you don't even consider it a fruit. Right? So there's actually, what he's telling you is the three, these are just three indicators. But they're not definitions, really, of what a fruit is. There's indicators. One indicator is the size. If it has hit a certain size, then you know that it has matured enough to be considered a fruit. Okay? Even if it's unripe. If you can see the kernels, that is enough maturity to be considered a fruit. Even if it's unripe. Okay? But if it's ripe, it certainly has enough maturity to be considered a fruit.
Why does he say that?
What's that?
Why does he say that one?
Why does
why
he say which
say
one?
It's kind of ripe and then ripe also.
Because the kind of ripe, how do you know when something, if something is unripe, right? So how do you know it's a fruit? I mean, when it starts off, it's unripe too. At what point do you consider it a fruit? You're going to have some other sign of maturity.
Fine, but why does he have to tell you you can make a bracha when it's ripe? If you can make a bracha when it's close to ripe, of course you can do it when it's ripe. Why is he telling you?
Why is he telling you when it's ripe? Well, what should he say? When it's
close to ripe.
When it's close to ripe. There's two things you need to look for. Seeds
now, how do you know when it's close to ripe?
When the seeds are
there. Seeds are there.
Okay,
or
when the seeds are there, that's definitely... yeah, but the thing is like this. It's when the seeds are there, it's considered a mature fruit. It's considered a mature fruit. Okay? And when it's ripe, what about if it's ripe, but the seeds aren't there and it's a very small specimen. What would you say then?
These aren't the only criteria.
Right. In other words, if the thing is ripe, but it doesn't happen to have the seeds never developed, and the size never developed, but it's ripe, that is another simon of maturity.
Oh, so he's saying it... Right. Okay. So you know, the seeds could be on the outside, and it could have different criteria. It doesn't have to be close to ripe, it could be... He's just giving another indicator. If the seeds are on the outside, then you make a bracha.
That's right. That shows it has developed. That is an area of development. Seeds is an area of development. Size is an area of development. And edibility, complete edibility, is an area of development. If you have any one of those three areas, it's considered a pre. Even if the other two are lacking. Okay, because that shows a certain stage of development. Okay, but it's not those things per se. Okay?
So it doesn't need to be close to ripe. Like, close to ripe isn't an essence of the seeds being on the outside.
That's right.
Nice. I'm just saying, even if it's close to ripe, like that, whatever, if the seeds are on the outside, you make eights.
If the seeds are on the outside, that means...
if it's close to ripe or not. Like, right. Meaning that's
right.
Not the...
But you'll know ripe. That the process of maturity is almost complete. Right. That's all he means.
He's not saying because it's close to ripe,
right.
That's why you make
right.
It.
Right. He's not saying because it's almost edible, you're going to be able to eat it in a few days, but he's saying that whatever the process of maturity is undergoing, it's almost complete. And when you've reached that level of maturity, the thing is considered a fruit. Okay? All right? So, therefore... That's the thing, right? Okay. Now,
oh boy.
Whoa.
Two sounds.
Hey guys.
Yeah.
Two balls.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so the only thing is that that with regard to the criteria of size, that there's a machabes. Now, as the according to the machaber, the size of pol halavan tells you it's mature enough to be considered a fruit, right? Okay, there's a little problem. There's a machlokas when it comes to that. One area. Now, everybody agrees that the seeds and ripeness defines it as a pre. Okay? But the question is, do you mind just leaving those doors open? It's very hot. Right?
Well,
Not that hot.
Right. Exactly. And a certain, like, what do you call it?
Homeostasis.
What's that?
Homeostasis.
Range.
Yeah, that's the word.
He's like,
that's
homeostasis.
Yeah, like a certain range of temperature that I could function.
Range.
With.
Also known as homeostasis.
Right. Hey. Okay. So the thing is like this: the criteria of size, right? Okay. So you have an interesting thing there. If you take a look at the Rambam, all right. There's two areas where pre comes into the picture. One area is the area of miser. Okay, when do you take miser on fruits? Okay, so it's only once the thing becomes a pre. Before it's a pre, you're not chayv in miser. Okay, so therefore it's very important to know at what point this product becomes a pre. Okay, so the Rambam says like this. Okay, the Rambam gives you the criteria. The Rambam says in Hilchos Maaser, Perek Beis, Halacha Gimel, okay, the Rambam says, Peros, well, first of all, the Rambam starts off in Perek Beis, Halacha Aleph, okay? The Rambam says, Eino Chayev Lahafrish Min HaTorah, okay? You are not Chayev to be Mafrish Maaser Min HaTorah, El hagomer peirosav leuchlan laatzmo. Only if a person grows the fruit or ripens the fruit for himself. Okay, if he does it to sell, different story. Okay, but he's only chayiv if he ripens the fruit for himself. Okay, actually that's not important. Okay, but. Just figure I'd throw that in there. Okay, but the Rambam in Perek Gimel, okay? The Rambam says it like this. It's Perek Beis Halacha Gimel. Okay? Peiros she'einan ru'uyin la'achila. Okay, any pre that's not roi la'achila, miktana, because of its small size, kagon haboser. Okay, boser is what we're discussing, an unripe grape. Okay, so if you have a grape that's unripe, okay, and it's not roi leachila because of its immaturity, okay, he says ukiyotzibo eino chayavim b'meiser. You're not chayav to take meiser on those type of grapes. On any grape that's not roi l'achila because it's undeveloped, you're not chayv. Okay? And he says like this, ad sheyigdulu v'yasu ochel. Until the grape matures and it becomes roi l'achila. Okay, shenemar mizera ha'aretz mipri ha'etz ad sheyiyah pri. Okay, so according to the Rambam, what is the criteria? What's really the definition of pri?
Size.
Roy lechila.
Right. When it becomes roy lechila, then it's defined as a pri, and then you have a meiser. Okay. That's the operative factor. Okay. So not size really, but roy lechila. Okay. Now take a look at halacha. Hey. Okay. Rambam says like this, Ezehi onas ha-maisras. Okay, Rambam starts again. What is the period at which maiser becomes applicable? Okay, the Rambam says, Mishiyagia ha-peros lahazria litzmoach. Hakolafi mashuhu apri. Okay, so the Rambam says, at what point are you chayv in maisras? When the pri is capable of reproducing, when the seeds are developed to the point that it could be replanted. Okay. So I don't understand this. So now, as the Rambam told you, when is the chiyuv meiser? When it becomes roi lechila. Then the Rambam starts two halachas later. When are you chayv in meiser? When the fruit could be replanted, when the seeds are capable of regenerating. Okay, so it seems the Rambam is giving you two different definitions for what's defined as a pri.
Does he only make a hadama in Bosa?
I'm sorry?
Does the Rambam only make a hadama in Bosa?
If a hadama in Bosa? Seems so.
You know, it's not roi for achila, would it be like?
What's that?
Even though it's not roi for achila,
according to him? Even though it's not roi for achila.
You shouldn't make any
bread.
It's a good question. I don't know. I didn't look up actually what the Rambam was with regard to Bosa. Okay. Right, so the Rambam in Gimel tells you that the pre is anything that's roi lechila. And the Rambam in Hay tells you a pre is anything that can reproduce. So what's the definition of pre?
And then it gets even worse. When it says Ketzah, did you read the Ketzah?
Yeah, I didn't read it now. Yeah. What does it say? He gives you the thing.
It says, like, how? Because Atenim, Shasu, Rock, and Kadeshi, Rurim, Lechila. It's nothing to do with reproducing. Karbar, Mishraj, Esim, Shas, Mishraj, Esim, Fasan. It's not anything.
That's right. Right. Okay.
So right. It sounds like he's going back to what he said before.
Sounds like he's going back to what he said before.
You can eat it.
That's right. Okay. But what are these two definitions of pre really? Listen to these two definitions. One definition tells you it's roi lechila. The other definition he tells you when the thing can reproduce.
And by both definitions, they're saying that's when you give meiser?
Yeah.
Why do you.
What's that?
He just like brought it up twice. Is this two different places or like one after another?
Well, it's one is an alach gimel, then he skips alach, he goes to hay, and he gives you the second definition. Okay? Apparently you need both. You need it has to be a pre, it has to be roi lechila, and it has to be capable of reproducing.
Oh, that's what he says in the end?
We're here, because he tells you both things. Right? He says when is it considered pre, when it's roi lechila. Then in hay he tells you when is onus maestros. When the thing is capable of reproducing. So it would seem you need both.
That's possible.
That's possible,
they're
right?
Two different qualities. One's like a very specific like time, like a specific like cutoff, right? And one's like more like up in the air, like it's more
right.
Subjective.
I don't have a problem that there's two requirements, but how are they both a definition? How can you define pre? Why are they both definitions of pre? What is a pre? Pre is five different things. I mean, what's the definition of a pre? Is it roi lechila or is it something that can reproduce?
Was he defining pre in both cases, or is one a definition of when you give mice and one's a definition of pre?
Well, Maiser Yonli Chayv, that's what the Ram says. Maiser Yonli Chayv when it's pre Hayetz, pre Hayetz. It's got to be pre.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So how could you give me two definitions of the same thing?
Yeah, like if it if it has one but not the other, like what are you going to say?
Is this a pre or is it not a pre? Right. Yeah. You tell me in one sense it's a pre and the other sense is not a pre. I mean, is it a pre or is it not a pre?
Well, I feel like if it's including like these multiple things, I mean, we didn't see it, but like, I feel like if it has any of these, it's considered a pre, you know, like meaning.
But what's in common? In other words, why would you define pre as edible and at the same time as something that could reproduce? Well, there must be some kind of common denominator between those two things.
I'm not a farmer, but like maybe those things come together, like those things happen at the same time, like
okay,
like when it's edible it also happens to be able to
what?
Reproduce at the same time. Like, yeah.
Okay, you mean
it's like those events occur simultaneously,
right? Okay, but now what are those two events? That's what I'd just like to understand. What are those? What's the category? When I say pre, right, I mean there are two frameworks I could discuss pre, right? Pre is really two things. It's something in man's, there's a pre in what man considers a pre, and then there's a biological pre. Right?
From the grape's point of view.
From the grape's point of view.
Yeah.
Right? In other words, you have a fruit as a biological phenomenon, right? And a fruit is something that people define fruit. Right, fruit is something that functions for man, and it's something that functions for nature. So that's why you could have there are two aspects to a fruit. It's not like he's defining one thing in two totally different ways. There are two aspects to a fruit. A fruit is something that functions for man, and a fruit is also something that is a biological phenomenon. Right, it's a product of nature.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then I'm saying that the pre, that's how you define pre. Okay, pre has two aspects. And when the thing contains both qualities of pre, then you chayv in maaser. Okay?
Yeah, good.
Okay. All right? Okay, so according to this Rambam, right, then it would seem what? It would seem that a pre is determined by a certain level of maturity, right? The fact that it's edible, certain edibility, okay. It has, in other words, it has to have the quality of edibility, okay. Okay, so and he gives. Now, does he give? He gives the shear. I believe he gives the shear for what is considered onus maisros when it comes to grapes. Okay, and he says like this. He says, "Anavim v'ushim v'hema anavim hadakim hamidbarios mishiyire hachartzan shelahem mibachutz." Okay, so he gives the criteria when the pits are visible from the outside. That's the level of maturity where it's considered roi lachila. Okay, and that's what the that's what Mishnah Berurah brings down. When the pits are visible, it's close to being ripe. Okay, which means it's very close to edibility. Okay, it may be not totally edible, but it has the quality of edibility. Okay, all right. So that's one idea in the Rambam. Okay, now if you take a look at the Rambam in Hilchos Shmita V'Yovel. Okay. So the Rambam's in Perek Hey, Halacha Yud Zayin.
Perek Hey.
Perek Hey, Halacha Yud Zayin.
Shmita V'Yovel?
Yeah.
Okay. 632 in the white room.
632? Okay. All right, so Rambam says like this. There's an iser to cut down a fruit-bearing tree during Shemitah, okay? The Rambam says, Mutter lakotz ilanos la'etzim b'shvias kodem shiyeh behem pri. Okay, so if you have a tree that you want to cut down, as long as it didn't begin sprouting any fruits, it's mutter to cut it. Okay? He says, Aval mishiyascha lasos pri lo yakutz oso. But from the time that it starts to generate peros, okay, it's aser to cut it. Shehari mafsid ha'ochel. Because then you're destroying the ochel. You're destroying the fruits. And the halacha is, the peros of shvias, you're not permitted to destroy. You have to, the kodesh, they have a kedusha. Okay, so if the tree is bearing fruit and you cut the tree down, you're destroying the fruit. You know, destroy the fruit of Shvias, of Shemitah. Okay, so he says like this. Okay, he says v'im hotzi peros v'higia la'onos ha'maisros. But if the peros are complete, are already nigmar, they're already ripe, and they've reached the maturity that they'd be chayiv in maisros, namely they reach the maturity of a pri, so then the lacha says, mutter to cut down the tree, because the tree is finished bearing its fruit. As the fruit has emerged, and therefore by cutting the tree down, I'm not preventing any more fruit from emerging. All the fruits have emerged. Okay? So once the fruit has reached its completion, which is meaning, which is when the pits are visible, it's a full-fledged pre, then you could cut the tree down. Okay? If the tree hasn't started bearing fruit, you could also cut it down. Okay? Because you're not, then you wouldn't be being mafsid any fruit, because it's not bearing fruit. Okay? At what point is it usher to cut the tree down? Okay? At the point where the tree has started to bear fruit, but the fruit is not complete. Okay, what is that point when the fruit has reached kapol olavim? Okay, if the size of the fruit on the tree is like the size of the white bean, the kapol olavim, then it's aser to cut the tree down. Okay.
How do you know?
What's that?
How do you know kapol olavim?
That's what the Kesem Mishra says. He quotes the Gemara. Okay, that at what point do you consider it a fruit-bearing tree? Because if it's before Pola Lavan, so then it's too small. The whatever's growing there, it's not considered that it's bearing fruit yet. Because anything that's growing is pre-fruit. No pun intended.
Yeah.
Okay? Anything that's growing is too small to be considered fruit. Okay? But once it's reached Pola Lavan, so then you consider that as if the tree is now generating fruit. Okay? But once it's reached its completion, then that's it. Then the tree is finished. Okay? Okay, so now I'll ask you a question. According to this, is the pol halavan, if you have fruit the size of a pol halavan, which is in the intermediary stage, do you consider that fruit or do you not consider it fruit? Yes. The fruit is in an intermediate stage. Do you consider that a pre fruit?
Why? Well, yeah. I'm in disagreement.
Okay, well, somebody give a reason. Why, yeah? If you can tell me you consider that fruit, right? Okay. So then why don't you say, that's it, it produced the fruit already. In other words, if that's fruit, then the later stage, right, where the thing is already developed, what is that? I mean, that's also fruit.
Yeah, exactly, that's what I'm...
Right?
So maybe this is like you're saying, that you were saying before, that there's like a ripeness... Like, there's a product in terms of the fruit itself. Like, is this the product of the tree? Right?
Right, so if it's the product of the tree, so the tree has already emerged, its product has emerged already.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But if it's, like, full of love on, then it's a product in terms
men's.
Of, and specifically in terms of edibility. I'm talking about in the world of like brachos and maestros, like getting food and stuff like that. In terms of like the fruit tree, did it bear the fruit yet?
Right.
The tree is not done.
Okay.
Not finished yet.
Okay.
It's a, what we were saying before, like pre is like a certain stage. For that stage is like a finish, like a completion. And it's like Mar Bishula.
So the stage is.
So it's still, even though it's not totally ripe yet, full of love, it's pre.
Okay, but with regard to maestros, you wouldn't be chayvin maeser, right? You're not chayvin maeser, because the Rambam says, when are you chayvin maeser? When the process is complete, when you have the when the pits are visible. But when it's kapala lavan, when it's that size, a smaller size, that's not considered. You're not chayvin maeser. It's not considered an ochel yet. Right?
Well, he's funny, Lashon, because it says that Ve'im Hotzi Peros Ve'igi La'onas HaMaisros.
Right.
Because it sounds like there are two things. It's brought forth fruit and it reached the Onas HaMaisros.
Right. Once it's reached Onas HaMaisros, and now it brought forth its fruit already. That's it.
So you're reading like it's one thing. He's like explaining Hotzi Peros.
Right. So isn't that? That's what he says.
I think
right?
It sounds like two things, though, according to this halacha.
V'im hotzi es aperos.
V'higiyo la'onas ha'maisos.
Then what? Then it's mutter.
Yeah, then it's mutter.
Then it's mutter, right?
No, but I'm saying hotzi peros and v'higiyo la'onas ha'maisos sound like two different things.
Okay. So therefore what?
Onas ha'maisos is not... it's a pre before it's reached onas ha'maisos.
Okay. So that's the question. As if it's
right.
A pre before onus and maeseros, so shouldn't you be chayv on maeser?
Right.
Right, but you're not chayv on maeser. You're only chayv on maeser once it reaches the full pre.
Right.
Right? So in other words, there's two ideas really of pre. Because one idea is, when do I consider this entity, define this entity as a fruit? That's only when it's finished, when the process is finished. You see? But now, when do I consider this something that makes the tree a fruit-bearing tree? In other words, when do I say that this thing reflects on the fact that the tree is in the process of bearing fruit? You see, that's when it is at least that's when it has emerged as kapol halavan. And as kapol halavan is not considered a fruit on its own, right? But it is considered it's an indicator that the tree is in the process of bearing fruit. It's a stage in the process of fruit bearing, you see? So therefore the pol halavan on its own doesn't qualify as a fruit, right? Because you wouldn't consider this a fruit because you don't bring maaser for it. Okay? But it is something that when this appears, it shows you that the tree is in the process of creating fruit.
Why isn't it just when it buds?
What's that?
Why isn't it in the process of when it appears?
It's you gotta have to have enough to be considered, you see, enough has to appear to be considered that it's in the process.
If I see something coming out, it's growing.
Right. So you say like this. So you say, at what point do you consider a tree a fruit-bearing tree? Right. So you'll say, oh, when I have a little flower. But 1 second, a flower is nothing. That's not a fruit. How could you say that the tree is bearing fruit, is in a process of bearing fruit? Nothing that partakes of fruitness is there.
Why don't you just say that when the fruit's there? It doesn't matter about the size. I see fruits growing.
Oh, then it's finished.
Well,
I
mean, like, when you see the fruit
the
getting bigger.
Well,
let's say it's less than the pull of one.
Right.
It's there.
Okay, I mean, that's a good question. At what point, why don't you say any amount that I see?
I'm saying po'olavan just, I thought was an edibility thing. Like, this is like...
See, but that's the problem. If it's an edibility thing, then I should be chayv in miser.
Right.
It's definitely not edible to eat. I mean, grapes or whatever, anything that's like... So you got a little thing, right?
Right. I mean, according to the Rambam, that's that he hasn't reached the level.
Just for grapes.
What's that? For grapes.
Just for grapes.
Grapes. According to the Rambam, it hasn't reached the level of edibility.
Like certain grapes could be smaller. I don't know.
I mean, I guess it depends on the.
Pull 11. There are certain grapes.
Yeah. So then if that's mature, then that's pull 11 is just a criteria. But if the grape is mature, then it's considered a fruit, right? But in other words, there's a. In other words, the pola lavan, it has to be something that you consider that's an indicator that the tree is actually in the process of forming fruits. You see, so I don't know why pola lavan is the measurement. You see, but clearly he's saying one thing, that the pola lavan on its own, if you just look at this thing on its own, if you're not concerned with the tree, with what the tree's doing, if you're just concerned with, is this thing a fruit, you say it's absolutely not a fruit. You see, but if our concern is the tree in the process of bearing fruit, and therefore I can't cut it, this will show you what it's doing, what the tree is doing. It reflects on what the tree is doing. You see, so in that respect, that's a different idea of pre. That means an object that will tell us that the tree is fruit bearing. You see, it would be like, for instance, like let's say you say a mother is pregnant, right? Is in the childbearing stage. Now, is she carrying a child? You could argue not. She's carrying a fetus, because the child is when the process is over. Now you have a complete entity that you can call that thing a child. You see? But on the other hand, she's carrying something that indicates that she's childbearing, that she's in the process of bearing a child.
Yeah, like, would you say that she's bearing a child when she's, like, having her cycles? Like, I don't know, going through certain, like... She's already bearing a child. Like, what point? Or saying, once the...
Right. In other, so you'll say when there's a fetus, right. In other words, there's going to be a certain point where you say, before that, you don't consider her childbearing. At what point do you consider her childbearing? Well, not, certainly not when the child's complete, but there's a certain intermediate stage where you say, oh, that shows she's childbearing. You see, so that's a different definition of child. That means a fetus in an existence... A thing that you could say is in the process of actually becoming a child. Okay? But on its own, you don't consider that thing a child. So, two ways of looking at fruit. One way of looking at fruit is in terms of the fruit itself, to say, is this a chefs shapri? The other idea of fruit is this something? Is there sufficient size here to say that the tree is in the midst of a process of bearing fruit? Now, at a certain point, you say, well, the process really hasn't begun yet. Yeah, there's something going on there, but there's not enough that appears for us to say, okay, it's bearing fruit now. You could see, and you could see an intermediate stage where now this is something we can consider. It's on its way to becoming a fruit. Now, there has to be something that you can consider. That thing is on its way to becoming a fruit. Then you say, okay, the tree is fruit-bearing, and if you cut it down, you're over an issur. You see, but if it's too early, you'll say, well, the tree really is not in the process yet of bearing anything that we can say recognizably is going to be the fruit. It has to be something that you can look at and say, yes, that is fruit in its making. Okay, what point is that? So the Torah says, kapala lava. Okay, so now if I were to ask you, which definition would you use to determine when do I make a bari pri ha'etz? Would you use the definition of a pri that reflects on whether the tree is fruit-bearing? Or would you use the definition of pri that tells you whether this entity is a pri? Which definition would you use? Kapol ha'lavan or karav l'bishulo? If I were to ask you, what do you make a bari pri ha'etz on? Which criteria would you use? You have to say karav l'bishulo. Because why should I make an eitz on kapol ha'lavan? It doesn't make any sense. That's not an eitz. That's just there to tell you that the tree is generating fruit. But if you look at that thing on its own, you don't say that's a pre. Otherwise, if that's a pre, so I can cut down the tree. What's the problem? It's it already produced the fruit. So apparently it didn't produce fruit yet. It's in the process. So if it didn't produce fruit, you can't call that thing a fruit. So why are you making it about pre-eights? Okay? That's the Gra's argument. The Gra holds that the pul halavan cannot be a criterion for bar peretz. Okay, the Shulchan Aruch uses pul halavan as one of the simanim of bar peretz, and the Gra says can't be. Okay, so according to the Gra, if it's the size of pul halavan, you don't consider that a peretz. You don't make an eitz, and the only criteria really is the criteria that is qualifies for Meiser, which is Karav L'Bishulah. Okay? Makes sense. Yeah. So that's the thing. I didn't do it inside, but if you take a look at the Shaar HaTzion, see, that's what he brings down. You see, because he says that the Mishnah Brura says v'chein im hachartzanim shalhem nirim b'chutz. Okay, so he says in Tes Zion, the Shaar HaTzion says d'afilu das apanim me'iras v'hagra d'cholken al p'saka shulchan aruch v'sfir le d'shi'ura d'pol halavan lo shayach. Pol halavan is not relevant here. Rock le'inyan iser ketzitzas ilanos b'shvius. That shear is only relevant for the iser of cutting down a tree. V'lo le'inyan bracha. Okay, de la bracha be'inan davka ad shi'yagia le'onas ha'maisros. Okay, so for bracha you need the shear that is roy le'maiser. Okay. But the Gra agrees that the chartzanim, if you could see the pits, that's a good shear. Either it's fully ripened or it's karv l'bishulo. Either one is good enough to consider a pre, but not pol halavan. Okay. So that's the basic machlokas. Alrighty. That's it.
Nice script. Thank you.
Okay.